loves me, I know. Praises to him I sing, onward I go. Closely to him I cling, blessings still flow. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Walking with him each day, love light does shine. Doing his will always, never repine. Kneeling to him I pray, thy will not mine. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Happy to serve my friend, lean on his arm. Rapture will never end, nothing alarm. Voices will sweetly blend under his charm. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior, he loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Will you please stand for opening prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day to come together, worship you, and sing these songs unto you. God, please be with those unable to be with us here today that are dealing with various illnesses, that have upcoming test procedures, and those with recent loss in their families. Please provide them comfort during their challenging times. God, please be with us as we receive our lesson from your word. Be with Charles as he presents your word to us, that we're able to take what we learn, apply it to our lives, and become better Christians, and help your church grow. All these things we ask you is in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Pew Bible, that is 1678. 1679. 1679. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be somber, grave, temperature, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Tom.
Please mark your song book 608 to be our song of invitation, please. Please turn to 196. 196. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls, diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
of Titus. Book of Titus. We don't look at Titus very often, but I think that being that this is a new year, 2025, that maybe we should look at things differently. Look anew. Look fresh. I want to thank all of you for your prayers on my behalf in the last couple of months. I'm not sure quite how to take the events as they've happened, but the day after Christmas, here I am showing up at 6 o'clock in the morning, or something close to that anyway, to have a procedure done on my heart. And they stick the IVs in both arms. Gotta love that, I guess. And they put the patches all over me so they can hook me up to a machine and look at my heart and listen to my heart and all that happy fun stuff. And my wife is looking at the chart and she's going, okay. And so, by the way, they blew out two veins. And then the guy looks at me and says, oh, I guess I suppose I should find somebody who knows how to do this. Okay, and makes you hesitant about being there at 6:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm like, wow, this is gonna be a good day. And so the lady that comes in, she looks at my veins and she goes, oh yeah, this one. And then she goes, and we're good. A few minutes later, the doctor comes in and says, well, he looks at the machine, looks at my heart, and he says, it's not acting up. Okay, I'll give you about 20 minutes, I'll be back. He comes back about 20 minutes after my wife is looking very disgusted. And he looks at the machine again over his glasses and he says, well, your heart's not acting up. I tell you what we're gonna do is I'm gonna fill out the paperwork and we're gonna send you home. He says, your heart's not acting up like it needs to, so we can't do the procedure. So if it's because of your prayers, we're answered, thank you. If it's because they just want to take more money out of my pocket, well, I guess we get to do this again. So I'm not quite sure how this, it seems like a bad Monty Python comedy sketch. So I'm going to take that from a comment that somebody's just made to me. So I appreciate it. Whatever the answer to the prayer was, thank you. Because when I know that I've got four congregations praying for me, either something is right or something's wrong. I'm not quite sure which one it is, but I'll take it either way. And to know that you all cared enough to do that for me is appreciated. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor one more time. It's a different favor, though. I'm going to ask you to pray for New Lexington, the whole town. Pray for the whole town. Now, if you know individual people who need prayers, okay, add them to your list. But pray for your town. Because if your prayers were heard by God and God answered your prayers, wow, can you imagine what your prayers would do for New Lexington? Poor people would be fed. Homeless would find homes. People would be saved. So thank you for your prayers. I'm going to assume that they were answered. And however God chose to do that. So pray for your town. Pray for your officials. Pray for the nurses and doctors that live in this area. Pray for the teachers, because they need it. Okay, they tolerate our kids, okay? That kind of thing. Pray, because you were effective. And thank you. Because I'm going to assume that those prayers are going to be answered. I assume that your prayer for me was answered. So I'm going to take it and run with it. Titus, in my Bible, chapter 2, it says, qualities of a sound church. That's the subject that they give this chapter. But as for you, speaking the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. How do we have sound doctrine? We tell the truth. That's what we said this morning for Bible class. That's important to us to be able to tell the truth. Sometimes truth gets to be kindly. Sometimes truth doesn't. You know, the doctor comes in and says, I got good news and I've got bad news. The bad news is we're going to hook you up. The good news is we're going to send you home. Okay, I'm not quite sure what to do with that, so I get to be the subject of my own sermon this morning. That's going to be really interesting. Okay, so we as a church of New Lexington here, we have to have sound doctrine for the world to listen to us. Now, they may only listen for a few seconds. As we talked earlier, sometimes they get the freedom to be able to just, I don't believe that, and they move on, and that is their choice. And then there's going to be others who are going to say, that is the truth, and yeah, I know it applies to me, but I just don't feel like doing it today. It's not what we really want. But we're going to have a few people who are going to say, that applies to me, and yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow what God wants me to do. There may not be a lot of them, and don't let that discourage you. Yes, we would like for everyone to be saved, but we're already told that not everybody's going to do that. So we're just following what Jesus and what God has already told us. We know that not everybody is going to be Christians. Some of them are going to see the world and say, you know, I still like having fun, or what they think is fun. Okay, verse 2, it says that the old men, what? Okay, let's see. Since I'm 66, I guess I get to fall in that category. I'm an old man now. That's what my nephew tells me. Okay. He says, you're just old. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I'll take being old. Okay. That old men, we should do what? We should be sober. We should be reverent. That means respectful. Okay. We should be sober. We should be respectful. Temperate. I mean, we need to be, not given of a lot. We should watch our tempers. Not given to being angry a lot. Sound in faith. Our faith. People should look at us and go, we know that he goes to church. We know that he believes. He believes that God is real. You'd be surprised how many people don't believe that God's real. They know that we have faith by looking at us, not just because we're old, but because our reputation has preceded us. In love, they know that we have a loving soul. We have a loving spirit. Guys, this is important for the church to have a loving spirit. Do we yell and scream at people, you know, you should be a better person? No. You know, we should be better people. There's a difference in tone and in patience. How many of us have patience? Oh, I have about this much patience. I have a lot of growing to do. I've been at this 52 years. You think I'd know how to be patient? I'm a musician. That doesn't necessarily mean we're patient. We should practice, but that doesn't mean we're patient people. I get impatient with myself a lot. You know, I'm a composer. We're supposed to bang out the notes and put the pieces of notes on the paper and make it make sense to the people who have to play it or sing it. And when they don't play it and sing it right, am I patient with them? Well, we might want to talk about that. Or they may want to, or they're going to talk about me, one of the two. So, guys, we have a lot on our plates that we're supposed to be. And as older men, we should have our act together. Why? Because we're supposed to be experienced in the church. The young men are going to look at us and say, I want to be just like him, who is just like Christ, who is just like God. There is a chain of actions that we have to follow. Are we perfect? No, we're not. But I am supposed to be like Christ, who is the Son of God. And there is when we as musicians learn from a teacher, his teaching is supposed to be in me, whose teacher taught him. And the students I teach are supposed to be like me. At least that's the indication anyway. And so there is this chain of following to perfection. Myself, to Christ, to God. And as older gentlemen, we are supposed to be encouraging the younger ones to follow that chain. That's a tall order. That's a tall order, but yet we are supposed to. I learned from my father, who learned from his father, who learned from his father. You see, yeah, you all see the point. Okay, good. Because as we follow what the apostles told us that Christ said and that God said, we follow that chain, we follow that line, and the community sees you singing. Is he an opera singer? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't really know his background that well. But I see that he participates in church. He serves. He reads. He prays. He serves communion. They see that you serve in patience and in love and in faith and in respect. And you do it not because you're sober and you're single-minded, but because you're sober and you do take it seriously, but not overbearingly. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, you're respectful in behavior, not slanderers. Ooh, hi, did you see what so-and-so did? Wow, that was so... And, you know, the phone calls, well, or the textings, or whatever whiz we do today. You don't do that. Not given to much wine, which means you're going to be sober. You're going to stay sober. And what's the last part of that verse? Teachers of what? Good things. Ladies, older ladies, be the teachers of good things. What kind of good things? I don't know. We're not told. We're told they're supposed to be good things. So the older ladies teach the younger ladies good things. Okay? Whatever that requires. My mother taught my sister how to sew. Now, my sister had three boys. None of them were interested in sewing. Not a single one of them. But she did teach them how to cook and cook well so that they wouldn't starve. One of them I know learned how to cook real well. But anyway, so ladies, you have an opportunity. Take that opportunity. Be that opportunity. And even if they're not Christians, be an example. The young lady who may be just getting married and living next door to you, teach her something. I know that when we moved from Coshocton to Zanesville, the lady who lived next door to us when we were in Coshocton, she made baked spaghetti for our family of four. There was enough for us to eat for 3 days. It wasn't the baking that my mother remembered. My mother knew how to bake spaghetti. Actually, she's really good at it, too. But what my mother learned was the lady next door gave. That was the lesson. Spaghetti was good, by the way. But it was the lesson. She gave. It took my mother forever for us to go back to Coshocton to return the glass plate, the Pyrex. By the way, Pyrex was a fairly new thing at that point in time, and it was expensive. But it took my mother and father a long time before they finally made it back to Coshocton to return the dish. And my mother never forgot. My mother will be 87 in April. She still tells me that story about moving from Coshocton to Zanesville and how much Mrs. Kimberly shared and gave. the lesson was learned. Teaching good things that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There's a lot of good things there to teach, a lot. And you go, who are you teaching? Your children. Have you taught your children? Have your children taught your children? Because as older ladies, I assume that you have children and grandchildren at this point in time. Some of you may even have great-grandchildren. Can you imagine? Great Meemaw taught me this. How did she teach you? Well, she taught Meemaw, and she taught Mom, and Mom taught me. That family line of things that you teach, okay? So what's all this teaching for? So that the word of God may not be blasphemed. It may not be desecrated. So that the name of God goes well. For who? Your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Keeping the faith strong in your families is going to be important. And as a community of people who live around in this area, you know that, I mean, believe it or not, family matters a lot. Where I substitute as a teacher, I hear this a lot. Well, the student that you have in this class, their parents graduated from here, and their grandparents graduated from here too. It's that family connection to a school. And if the school is important, then so is the church. The church is actually more important than the school. Okay. If I go to New Lex High School and I substitute as a teacher, it wouldn't take me long to find out. I may not make all the connections, but it wouldn't take me long to find out, oh, well, this one's related to this one. Who's related to this one? And those family connections make pretty quickly. Now, as somebody coming in from the outside, I go, oh, is everybody related to everybody? Well, maybe, maybe not. But at Meadowbrook, I'm still the outsider, and I've been a substitute teacher there for, this is my fourth year. I'm still an outsider, because I come from Zanesville. Yeah, I'm still the outsider. But it's okay. I don't mind. I don't care. What I care about is their children's education. And hopefully, not only as a teacher, but as a Christian, I make a difference. Because I say, you can't say that in my classroom. That's not allowed. Well, I can say anything I want. Well, not according to the school rules, you can. Oh, you know about those. Yeah, the rules. Where are you going? Are you late for class? Are you supposed to even be in the hallway? They actually really do want structure. And you, as members of the church, can give them structure, because God gives you structure. Likewise, young man, I'm going to talk to you for just a second, because I'm no longer a young man. That's what my nephew keeps telling me. He said, you're an old guy. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Okay, we're supposed to be serious. Not mean, just serious. Be sober-minded. In all things, show yourself to be a pattern of what? Good works. They want to know, young men, are you doing good works? Not bad works, good works. There's a difference between good works and bad works, right? Okay. You don't want your name in court news for the local newspaper. That doesn't bode well. Okay. I used to read the newspaper and it said court news. Oh yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I know. What? No, that can't be right. He doesn't do that, does he? Does he? Well, maybe. Okay. Patterns of good works. What are those? Helping people. Doing the right thing. The bar on Saturday night is not a good idea. Okay, coming to the ball games not sober is not a good idea. You know, are you still waking up from your hangover on Monday morning? No, those aren't good works. And those don't set a good example of the children that you have. They just aren't. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, stop, young man, stop. Don't do that. Remember, you're now the example for your children coming up. And the example for the children who go to the ball games. The county fair. The rock concerts. The country western concerts. The public, you know, the public community activities. You are the example. And what are you supposed to do? Good things. Because you are a member of the church. See, you're not living your own life now. You're living the life of Christ. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yes, you are living the life of Christ. We are the example of the community to the community. Okay, good works. In doctrine, show integrity. Okay, you should. We are to learn what the Word of God is. What's it say? And we are the spokesperson for the church. We are the one who says, God tells me I should do this, so I will. I will tell the truth. I will lead you in the path of righteousness because God says I should be going down the path of righteousness. Okay. And you don't have to bury people with the truth. Show them. Show them. Good works. Reverence. Do you respect, do they understand that we as young people respect God? I hear some pretty interesting things said about God, and I know they're not true, but people will use God's name for all kinds of stuff, and most of it's not good. But when they hear us use the name of God, do they hear us using it reverently, respectfully, with honor? That's a tough order sometimes because when you get mad, you want to say, blah, 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 and we're not supposed to. The young people behind us should, as young men, hear us say God's name correctly and reverently, respectfully. Incorruptibility. Now, this is hard. This is hard, trying to be the person we're supposed to be. I'm reading a book right now called Quiet, Understand the Introvert. It's a tough book. It also explains a lot about my life. I'm reading this book going, wish I'd known this like 40 years ago. It would have helped me out a lot. Because I see myself as somebody who's not really outgoing. I really don't. And I think the world, with all its wonderful noise, I'm going to call it what it is, noise, sometimes overlooks the quiet, reflective end of things that I think we need to hear from young people. And young people need to hear it from the older people. An opportunity to be quiet and think, reflect, and respect. Tall order. And it all comes down to what you do as Christians and what I do as Christians. Do they see us being quiet, reflective, and thoughtful when the entire world is chaos? Peace beyond all understanding from God. The world cheers and hoots and hollers, if you'll excuse the way I said that, about bad news. Do they hear good news from us? I refuse to get into a political debate. I hate them. I don't watch them on television. I don't listen to the podcasts about who's doing what politically. I refuse, because to me it's all nonsense. It's a game, and I don't have time to play it. Being incorruptible, sound speech that cannot be condemned, saying the right things, sound speech, make it solid, don't fill it full of lies, don't fill it full of maybes. Say what needs to be said, and you'd be surprised. I know that a lot of you do that, so I'm just trying to encourage you to continue doing what you do. Sound speech. As young men, we hear those things. And eventually, as we keep our sound speech, we pass it on. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed. So if our words are good, nobody can take those away from us. Nobody. Absolutely no one. And the people who do, they'll be ashamed of themselves. They'll go, you know, what I really said was not right. Now, they may not change the way they do things, but they'll know that they did wrong. Having nothing evil to say about you. By the way, this next set of words are about for those of us who are slaves. And we're all slaves to something, so this all still applies to us. Okay? If we work for a paycheck, this applies to us. If we worked for a paycheck, this did apply to us. Exhort bondservants, slaves, to be obedient to their masters, your bosses. Now, I don't always want to be obedient to my boss. They ask me to do things that I'm not quite sure are a good idea, but I agreed to work for them. Be obedient to your masters, to be well-pleasing in all things. This is hard. This is really hard, because sometimes I don't care. I'll admit, I don't care. I don't care what they want. They're not doing the right thing. But that's not what I agreed to. Okay. Pleasing in all things, which means we're supposed to work really hard. Okay. Well, you know, I think I'll stand next to the drinking fountain for about 20 minutes and see if anybody notices. Oh, yeah. Somebody will notice. They may not do anything about it, but they'll notice. And they go, lazy so-and-so. I thought, well, I saw what you did. Okay. To be well-pleasing in all things, not to answering back. Wow, that's tough. I don't care what you want. I'm not going to do that. That's usually the first thing that comes out of your mouth, right? Okay, yeah. I've been guilty. I'll admit it. Not pilfering. Okay, don't steal from the company. Don't steal from the company. Oh, well, nobody's going to miss that inkjet printer cartridge. Nobody's going to miss that ream of paper. Well, they said, you know, I could have one sheet. Nobody takes just one sheet. Nobody does it. Nobody's going to care if I, you know, go an extra 20 miles in the company car. I just want to go to McDonald's. They didn't say I couldn't. Ooh, that's a famous line. We like that. Nobody said I couldn't. Okay. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Not just some things, not just one or two things, but all things. That's the hard part. Nobody said this was going to be easy. To set the good example for 2025. Now, I know we've got a new president. I don't care. I don't care we had the old president. I don't care. This has nothing to do with presidency, senators, congressmen, the local police chief, anything. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with us. You, me. It has to do with all of us. Why? Because we want people to understand that being a Christian, following what God wants us to do, is truly important. It's truly important. And for us, that means everything. It means that we are doing what God asks us to do. A discussion in Bible class was, you know, Peter and Paul disagreed about something, but they didn't disagree about the basics. Peter was doing something he wasn't supposed to. Paul set him straight. Sometimes we have to do that. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. But sometimes we have to do that. But the one scripture was that we talked about in class was, it says we are to be like Christ. Christ was baptized. Christ did what his Father asked him to do. He did. Did he want to go to the cross? No, absolutely not. He knew it was coming. He knew that was the plan. He did what he was supposed to do because his Father asked him to do so. Christ has asked us to follow him. The apostles have all asked us to follow Christ. Do what God asks us to do. And that's hard. The things to do are simple, but staying on track is hard, isn't it? It really is. Okay. Being a Christian in word is easy, but the actions are harder. It takes practice, lots of practice, because people watch what we do. That's the reason it says do good works, do good things, say things that are good, being different, being stronger. If there's any way that we can help any of you, whether it is being baptized, pray for you, being encouraging, let us know as we stand and we sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye
As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, let's turn to 119, please. Thank Charles for a fine lesson this morning. 119. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld
in glory his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Thank you for that song, Thomas. So appropriate as we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. I might ask, too, if there's anyone that needs the emblems for communion, Steve could get that for you. If you want to raise your hand, let him know. As we prepare our minds this morning, I'd like to read a familiar verse for most of us from John chapter 3 and verse 16. And also the 17th verse. A lot of times we don't hear that right after this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I also like to look over at 1 Peter at this time. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. the precious blood of Christ. Now I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 6:20 as we think on these things. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. With the lesson, the sermon that we heard this morning that Charles preached, we know that we have a holy God, and he calls on us to try to be holy like he is holy. Then we have Christ, our Savior, who bought us with a price. And when you think about that, and it's talking about the silver and gold and all these corruptible things, what more could God have done than to offer his only begotten Son for us, each one of us, that we might have that right relationship with God and that our souls might live forever in that eternal home of heaven? It was a great sacrifice, and we have that opportunity as children of God. So as we contemplate those scriptures this morning, as we take these emblems and think on the lesson that we just heard, let's keep in mind what price it took that our sins might be forgiven. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your great love that you've shown to us, demonstrated that love, Father, and Christ willing to suffer and die on that cross for our sins, the demonstration of the great love that it took that we might be right with thee. We pray now, Father, as we take this bread, which represents the body of Christ as he gave that body on the cross, that we think of the past week and how we have lived this morning, looking at the conduct we have and what we hope to do in the week ahead, according to your will. So thankful for your love and the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We remember that phrase, the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot or blemish. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we now come thanking thee for this emblem, this cup containing the fruit of the vine, which represents the precious blood of Christ as he shed that upon the cross for our sins. Help us to be mindful of it as we partake of it this day, and help us each day of our lives realize the cost it was that Christ was willing to pay on that cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to another act of worship now that the New Testament church did on the first day of the week, that of giving. So let us go to God in prayer at this time. If you're new and don't know where we do that, it is in the foyer. There's a table back there that with a box and it has a slit in it. And we've changed a little way we do that, where we used to pass the plate around. And due to COVID, we went to that, and we're still doing it that way. So that shows some things that we have we can make the decision just so that we do them as close as we can to the New Testament scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for sparing our lives this day and the health that we have that we might be here this morning, and the means that you've given to us that we might be able to return your blessings in some way to the church. Help us always to look for the ways, Father, that we can be helpful and do those things like we heard this morning from the lesson, that we might serve the church to the best of our ability, realizing the cost. Now, Father, as we go on through life, help us to realize those around about us that may not be looking to God, may not have heard about God, that we are willing to talk to them if they were willing to listen about the Word of God and what it means to us. So thank for your love and the hope that we, each one of us, have that someday we can live in an eternal home with thee in heaven. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we'll go to the announcements with Mark.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service and send a special welcome to all of our visitors we have with us today. We want to remember about our Bible studies. Our Bible studies are 9:45 on Sunday mornings, and we're studying the book of Galatians. Also, the ladies, they get on the phone on Sunday evenings, and they've been doing 2 Chronicles, and they've been studying that. Of course, midweek Bible study on Wednesday night is at 6:30, and they're doing the book of James. So that's a lot of different subjects we're studying and stuff like that, and I encourage you to take in part of that. Also, the ladies right now, they're doing a winter morning devotion that's on Saturdays to be the first and the third Saturdays of each month. And the next one's going to be up on February the 1st. And that'll be 8:30 to 9:30 that morning. And that'll be over the phone. So I encourage you to get on that. Also, the youth group, they'll be the next time they'll meet is on January the 31st from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That'll be in the fellowship hall, so I encourage you to come to that. Of course, Holly has in here a very extensive and very long list of ones that's on the prayer list. Encourage you to look that list over, and that way, because there's several in there, it has a lot of ailments and different illnesses they have. And of course, we've had a couple families that lost some loved ones in the last few weeks, so we want to remember all of them in our prayers. Of course, Holly also has area events for Pennsville, New Concord, and Somerset in the bulletin. I encourage you to look at that, and if we can take you into that, we can go and take and support them in their time that they're doing. Of course, we have our new weekly broadcast, and they're done, and we can actually go on YouTube and Apple and starting, and now Linkage. We can go in there, and there's several ways of be able to get the broadcast that gets put out each week, so I encourage you to take in part of that. Also, Ernie gave me some flyers here of different area, other events going on. There's going to be a Bible Bowl coming up on April the 5th, and that'll be at up in Grove City, the church up there. And I remember years ago, we had a couple groups that went from here, and we went to Parkersburg. And It actually uses a lot of knowledge to be able to be able, because you don't know what kind of questions you're going to be asked. But you just know, like here, then their Bible Bowl is going to be there. They're going to be discussing going over Genesis chapter 1 through 25. So that's a lot of study. That's a lot of different areas. Also, there we have a flyer here. It's called Fraud. And then that's put on by Fisher Road, there the church up there, and that's going to be on February the 15th. And I'll put that on the bulletin board. Also, there's a Midwest Youth Rally. That's going to be at Fisher Road Church of Christ there on April the 25th and the 26th as a Friday and Saturday. And I'll put them on bulletin board in the back. I believe that's everything I have. Is there anything that I may have overlooked or we need to add? Or okay. If there's not, then I'll ask you to go and stand and for the closing prayer at this time.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank for this opportunity we've had to come together to hear your word proclaim, sing song praise to thee. Dear Lord, we pray that everything be well pleasing in your sight. Help us to be better Christians, better examples. Please be with all those who are sick and afflicted, all those who have lost loved ones recently, especially with the Gibb and the Ward families at this time. Be with the Giannis family at this time. comforting Eddie and his wife. Be with all those others old who have been ill and facing different problems and challenges in their lives. Help us be better Christians, better examples. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.